Hi everyone, this is Dr. Tony from Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Don't get nervous, the show will be starting in a few moments. It's going to be an encore presentation and you're going to love it. But before we start the show, we have started a tradition several weeks ago about doing a 2-minute scriptural reflection. And we didn't want to interrupt that tradition because it's proven to be very popular, very successful. So today's scripture is based on 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. That there be no division among you, but be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. St. Paul said that, and he was being very practical and very inspirational here. Only a Christian for a short time at this point, he knew the harm that disunity does in all Christian communities. He knew that a person cannot, on one hand, say that they are followers of Jesus Christ, and then on the other, promote themselves at the expense of the unity of community, be it family or a parish. Once one person seeks to raise above the others due to selfish ambition and concerns, it introduces a great stumbling block in the witness to Christ that should be given by all. But when all members of the community see themselves as servants to Christ rather than superiors over the others, then others will want to be a part of that community that is built on authentic love of self-sacrifice. We might ask ourselves today if the way we think and act promotes the service that Christ expects from us, or failings that superiority that Christ wishes to expel from us. And that's the long and the short of it. And now, Maestro, on with the show.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Today's the date, June the 8th, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Hi, Tony.
And today's the date.
Yeah, what, I didn't pay my taxes?
No. Sure? This is the date we've been advertising. We have a special guest, a very special guest.
You're talking about me or...
No, sorry,
nice.
John. You sure? What's your name, by the way?
I'm Dr. John Palmer.
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo,
and we're
here...
And we are the two oldest evangelists on the radio.
To tell you we love Jesus.
Oh, yeah, we certainly do. We have a priest here, a Monsignor. That's one step shy of a bishop. And we have a Monsignor sitting here. Do you know, he's out getting coffee because he used to work here. And he went out to get coffee first.
He used to work here. He's a Monsignor, but he's the president and CEO of Telcare TV. Good. Catholic TV.
Monsignor Jim Bloom.
Right, and we're so honored and happy to have you, Monsignor. Well, this is a prayer come true, by the way.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with the both of you, and it's an honor to be back at this radio station that is historic on Long Island, right?
I'll say.
And a place where, when I was a young boy, believe it or not, I lived a bicycle ride away from here.
Wow.
And I used to ride up here on my bicycle, and I worked here for a summer helping out, and it's where I first fell in love with radio.
Uh-huh.
And then who would have known that the Lord would have called me to utilize the love of radio and preach the word, just like you guys are doing. So it's an incredible gift.
I'll say.
Right?
He has a funny knack of knowing what to do.
Exactly right. And a good sense of humor.
Oh, boy, does he ever. Yeah. Does he ever.
We leave this whole show up to him.
Yep,
I agree.
We leave
it up to him and the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I say, please, Jesus, don't let Palmer get in the way. Yeah, I love him. That's my dear buddy. I love Palmer.
You're making me nauseous.
Okay.
Father, tell us what you're doing at Telcare. I know you have big things going on there.
Sure. Well, anybody who's listening, if you're listening even out of the country, because I know you can listen online now, you go to telecaretv.org. You can learn a lot more about what we do at telecaretv.org. But we're a Catholic television station, and now we're broadcasting to 7.5 million homes in the country.
Wow.
And really preaching the gospel of Jesus every single day of the week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Go figure, right?
Oh. How did you get to 7.5 million?
Can you believe it? Well, that's really the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. There's no doubt.
Sure.
About 8 years ago, we were in 600,000 homes, you know, which is still pretty formidable.
Not bad.
And very respectful. We were in Nassau and Suffolk County.
Yes.
And I was very grateful to the Lord for that gift. And what happened was, as our programming began to be heard by more people, they said, gee, we'd like to have you. And Verizon Fios came to me, and Time Warner came to me and said, we'd like to pick up the station. We'd like to play it. And we just grew exponentially.
Wonderful.
And what a vehicle to be able to utilize to preach the gospel, right?
Oh, right.
I mean, it's exactly what you two are doing right now, which you do so beautifully, and such an important ministry.
Absolutely.
And you still have your radio show, too.
Can you believe it? For 25 years this year, I have been the host of a radio show called Religion and Rock. And I picked it up from Father Tom Hartman. You may remember him, right?
Yes, know him well.
And he hosted it for 13 years before me. And then he said to me, he called me up one day, and he said, Jim, I'm going to be working with a rabbi, and we're going to do something. We think it's going to be called the God Squad, and I'm not going to be able to do this radio show anymore. I had been a listener since I was a little kid, you know?
Okay.
And he said, have you ever heard the show? And I said, oh, yeah, I've heard it. Every single Sunday I get up to listen to this radio show. It's on 7 in the morning. And next thing you know, I was hosting it, and I've been doing that for the last 25 years. So we're on WBAB here on Long Island, and we're on Cox radio stations throughout the country because they have other rock stations, you know, and then also on Sirius XM too.
Is
on
right?
Saturday nights, yep, at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Yep.
What number? What's
we're on channel 129, the Catholic channel.
129.
Yep.
Oh, I listen to
and
it all the time.
And it's rock.
Believe it or can you believe that? That's another crazy thing, right?
So
what we do is we don't play Christian rock. The idea of it was to design a radio show. This was Father Tom's idea. I'm not smart enough to do this. He did this. That would utilize rock music that in those days kids were listening to, and to show how Jesus was working through that. Like, we don't need just religious music for God to speak to us, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know. That's what we do here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that was the idea. So it was born in bands like, believe it or not, Pink Floyd, The Who, The Beatles. And to this very day, now we're all old. The people who like that music, we're all older, you know. But that's the crowd that we minister to every week now for all of these years. And it's been fantastic to recognize that this music, and let's face it, it's the music that people fall in love to, right? So, you know, like when you dance to your first dance at your wedding, usually it's not a beautiful scripture song. It's usually something that's, you know, Till There Was You or
loving,
something like that.
Yeah.
And why God used that to bring those two together and to fall in love. So why not acknowledge it? And,
you know, you're triggering off a thought in me. I'm a therapist, psychologist. And I was watching television where they were doing music therapy with seniors, right? And they had all these old songs for me, right? And all I could think of, the music therapy for seniors down the line is going to 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
It is true. That day's going to come, right?
Yeah.
That day's going to come.
Yeah, because all those waltzes are gone.
It is true. But it's beautiful. Like, the thought of God utilizing the created world is such an important notion, don't you think?
Yes.
A beautiful day, a rainy day, green lawns, you know, a cool breeze in the morning. You know, all of those things are the way I think God speaks so vibrantly to us, but we could miss that. You know, we could miss it. The same thing with music. We could miss it.
And the way he wants us to evangelize, it's not only one way. It's not only through speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's through music. It's through so many different ways to evangelize.
Yeah.
Through the Bible, through the radio shows,
and
through your TV show.
And through your imagination.
Exactly.
That's
right.
What got me. Well, I used to, when I was a kid, listen to the Lone Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And when he went on television, he died as far as I was concerned.
Sure, sure.
Because I had all this wonderful imagery of him. And you know, that's what kind of drew me and Tony here, because we can get our listeners to use their imagination. We allow God to take over, and we tell him, he can talk to you.
Sure.
And he'll talk to you through this radio program.
And that's our mission statement, to evangelize and to bring at least one convert a week if we can.
Isn't that wonderful? This is clearly my first love. My first love is radio, and I'm very devoted to radio, to radio's history. I used to teach a course in it.
Mm,
and this very building we are in was always a part of the course because it's such an important station on Long Island.
It was the first.
Exactly right. And it is, like I said, historic. I am always shocked. The cars that drive by on Route 109, they should slow down and toot the horn because this radio station put Long Island on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that now it's being used to preach the gospel by the two of you, what a great gift. Unbelievable.
And they do it every weekend. They have a lot of religious programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have one.
We're usually, I think we're the only Catholic one, though.
Really?
We're the only Catholic program.
And the way the name of the program came about,
oh.
We were in Burger King, and we were praying, how are we going to do this?
And what are we going to name?
The name came up, and you had to listen up, and I had Jesus is on the air.
Isn't that great?
And it really means, hey, anyone who's listening can go into a personal, intimate, quiet relationship with God no matter where they are. The only thing we have to be careful is sometimes when we pray, we don't tell people to put their hands up if they're driving a car.
That's right.
That's not a good idea. That doesn't work.
I was listening a couple of weeks ago to you guys in the car, and I was very moved by the things you were doing and the people you were praying for, which I think is a beautiful thing to do, to pray for people during your show, too. What a great gift.
Some good responses.
That's wonderful.
From petitions, yes, we have.
And today we're going to focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and True Presence in the Eucharist. Not such a small agenda, is
no,
it?
No.
Well, and the saint of the day.
Well, that's all part of Sacred Heart.
It's all part. That's where all the dots are connected.
Yes, exactly. Last 2 days, of course, yesterday we celebrated the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today, the Sacred Heart of the Blessed Mother, which is so beautiful. What a great way to link the two of them together and for us to pray.
You know, I was wondering how we're going to get across the idea of Sacred Heart of Jesus to our listeners. And during the week at Mass, Father Ritchie at St. Mary's gave a reading about a little kid in the third grade who said, what is the Sacred Heart? And the mother answered, well, you know, you have a human heart, and it's about the size of your fist. And Jesus had that too. And when he was resurrected, his heart opened and became the universe.
Isn't that a beautiful image? Yeah, that is great.
And we are all living in his world. And it may not seem it from the outside, but his kingdom is in each of us, and his heart is beating in us.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. And he wants to be in our hearts. We just have to open up our hearts when he would let him into our hearts.
I'm going to steal Tony's question.
Oh, here he goes.
How did you become a priest? What drew you there?
I wish that I could say to the two of you that I had a dream and I opened my eyes and the Sacred Heart of Jesus was at the end of the bed, you know? And
I'll say it anyway. Sounds good.
I would love that, because then I could really, I would be, my vocation story would be wonderful. It's so darn ordinary. But the reality of the situation was, like I said at the beginning of the show, I lived a bicycle ride away from here. So I grew up in West Babylon. I had a mom, dad, and a sister. My sister died when I was in eighth grade. Mm. She was a little girl. She had leukemia. Mm. And back in those days, there wasn't a lot of treatment, you know? Mm-hmm. And what happened was, instead of not going to church and being angry after that, we wound up going to church a lot more. And the Lord called us in the midst of sorrow, to be a part of the life of the church. And then as my life went on, I went to St. John the Baptist High School in West Islip, one of our Catholic high schools, diocesan high schools. Little by little, these small things were coming to me that the Lord was putting in my heart, saying, this would be a wonderful way to live your life. You know, I'd go on a retreat, and I would be very moved. I'd be praying, and something about priesthood would come to me. Then they would ask me to give a talk at the retreat, and I'm, 16 or 17 years old, and I'm giving a talk at the next retreat. And I said, well, this is a beautiful thing, preaching like this, you know. So as a young guy, that was always something that seemed to be the right thing for me. But then the other thing was, there is no doubt about it, I was a radio geek, a music geek. I love music. I love the radio. This was my thing. So then my big question was, how am I ever going to do both of these together, Lord? Like, I want to be a priest very bad. I just celebrated my 25th anniversary, as I told you guys last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Praise Jesus.
I kept saying to the Lord, well, how is this ever going to work? So what I really thought was that the Lord was asking me to let go of all of that, radio, television, my love of music, and to follow him and preach the gospel. So I said, okay, that's what I'll do. And I got ordained, like I said, 25 years ago, and 1 month later, Bishop McGann called me into his office and said, I want you to go to school and study communications. And to me, that was Jesus' answer. That was Jesus' ordination gift to me.
Oh, absolutely.
That said, guess what, buddy? You're going to use this throughout your life, and you don't have to let it go. You know, just the opposite. I'm going to call you to use
and
it.
And Jesus plants those seeds in everybody.
Exactly right.
And you just have to be able to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I love what Bishop Murphy is trying to push everywhere he goes. Belong to Jesus more deeply. That's
exactly.
So important. And then people say, well, how can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I said, just shut up and listen. And you become quiet.
Yeah, and open your heart.
That's sure.
It. And look what happened to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we were saying before, to get out of the way so that Jesus can do his work in you.
Absolutely.
And that's what I keep finding, even in the number of television programs that we do now. You know, there's a lot, and just like here, there's technical components to everything we do. But at the same time, if we could get out of the way a little bit, we can allow the Spirit to lead us. And so that's what we find even at Telecare. We do 932 unique shows a year. Can you imagine
Whoa.
That? That's more than any, you know, any television company in the world.
Yeah.
So you got to get out of the way so that the Lord can do his work.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of Palmer's questions, but I can't think of any.
Matt had to steal one back.
I want
you know
to steal
why he
one
can't
back.
Think of it? He because, doesn't pay attention yeah. to anything I say.
But I really, you know, you undoubtedly found the love of Jesus, and you used it, and Jesus took you in his arms. Were you like that when you were a child? Did you relate to Jesus when you were 6, 7, 8, 10, 12?
Well, as a child, you know, I was probably much more interested in Rigatoni than I was the Lord, to be honest with you. I was a little chubby Napolitan boy,
me,
you know?
Me too.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'll tell you what was always important. What was always important was something that occurred every Sunday. We'd go to Mass, and after that, we celebrated at that altar. Then there was an altar in our home where we gathered for the meal, and we spent 2.5-3 hours every Sunday with family, discussing fun things, but also serious things, and sharing that very, very important meal. For me, I think that's where, getting back to what you were saying, John, my love for the Eucharist grew as a little boy. Because, see, what happened was we would receive the Eucharist, but then I never really connected that what we were doing at home was just a follow-up to what just happened.
Absolutely.
And that's the reality.
And
but
you
that's family values that's taken hold in your family.
Exactly
that
right.
That actually brought you to the priesthood.
Yep.
It all comes from the family.
And my mom and dad were the people, for the most part, in my life who supported that every single day of the week. And the other reality was I was lucky enough last Sunday at St. Agnes Cathedral to have them both there, sitting in the same exact row that they sat in 25 years ago, and to be able to celebrate that Mass with them. And they said to me afterwards, "That this was even better than your ordination. This was fantastic."
Yeah. You know, when people go into Mass on Sunday, I just want them to think about, this is Jesus. He's alive in that Eucharist. And I love music too, Father. That's why we have Jim Cowan singing, "This is Jesus, Emmanuel."
Receive him, adore him, this is Jesus, our Bright star of David, radiance of God, now become the living bread, the body of the Lord. Come in adoration, receive with trembling hands the sacrament most holy, the banquet of the Lamb. Emmanuel, God is with us in this sacrament. I receive him, adore him, this is Jesus. From the sun.
blemished lamb of sacrifice, your very life outpour.
Royal Paschal Victim, true begotten Son, offered as a ransom by the Holy One. This is Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us in this sacrament of receiving Him, adore Him. This is Jesus, our Lord. This is Jesus.
You know, I wanted that played to start our discussion today about true presence in the Eucharist. I have people say to me, how can you prove it? And my answer back to them is, how can you disprove it? You know, why do I have to prove it if you can't disprove it?
Sure.
And Jesus is there. He's fully alive. What would you say to people who say, oh, that's hogwash?
Well, you know what it is? Faith is a gift. Let's face it, right? So the gift of faith says there's no need to prove it. That's right. Why would you want to prove it?
Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely true.
So my thought is, you know, I think there is just this awesome experience of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that's what matters, really. That's what matters ultimately in our lives. It's not about proving anything. You know, if we live in a scientific world, we're always going to come up short, because a scientific world cannot at all explain the joy that maybe the both of you had when you held a grandchild in your hands for the first time, or the joy that you had when you were walking out of the church on your wedding day. That cannot be explained, because that's all about the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And see, like, when you rely on science, you come up short all the time.
Right.
So I'm not concerned one iota about proving anything. Right. I'm more concerned about not proving. I don't want to prove anything. Like the Shroud of Turin, I don't need you to do carbon testing on it. That's fine. Forget about it. Doesn't matter.
You get that personal touch. I'm sorry.
It's what's in the heart.
Yeah. Exactly
what
right.
You're saying that's what's important.
Sure.
What's in your heart and your brain and the love that you have within you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that 100%.
And generally speaking, every day of the week, I make a holy hour, you know, in front of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And there's something very powerful about that, very centering about that, particularly when our lives are crazy, right? For me.
Your life is crazy. Mine is so quiet.
I know. And never ever problems or stress,
no.
Right? But see, if I didn't do that, oh my Lord, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's, for me, quite enough, that I know that the consolation and the energy that I receive through the power of the Eucharist, and as a priest, I mean, you know, that's the greatest gift that we have as priests, is that ability to celebrate the Eucharist. I mean, that's most powerful. That is, for me, I don't need any proof. I don't need to, you know, write this down and do a doctrine on it
Father,
for you.
That's the best answer I ever heard of John's question. He answers that to everybody. But that's the best, that's the answer. To me, that's the true answer.
Yeah, exactly, right?
It really touched me.
Oh, that's nice.
I had a client who was very depressed for a number of years. And part of what I do in therapy, I said, why don't you go to the Adoration Chapel over at Holy Redeemer whenever you're feeling upset and open yourself up to God, right? When he came in one Friday, he said, Doc, I was going to kill myself yesterday.
Wow.
I said, oh, my God, what did you do?
Wow.
He said, I went over to the Adoration Chapel, and I said to God, look, I've had it. I'm finished. I cannot do this anymore unless you can show me or teach me that you are for real. And I said, well, what happened? He said, I was there, and I thought of Stephen McDonald, the policeman who was shot. He was
sure.
on our show a while
ago. Oh, was he? He's a wonderful
two
man.
Two weeks ago.
What
and
a
he
great
said,
man.
Then I said to God, that's pretty good, but I could have thought of that on my own. You know? And you got to do better than that. And he stayed in the chapel, and the door opened, and he heard some funny noise, and he turned around. You know who came into the chapel? Stephen McDonald.
Oh, my Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
And then my friend said to me, is that God? I said, well, who else? Yeah.
And I would say, and now what else do you need?
Yeah.
Enough's
yeah,
enough.
That's right.
You got a real blessing.
Yeah, he was healed of his depression.
Yeah, that's the real blessing,
really,
right?
Really, just an unbelievable thing. I have stories like that from practice.
Yeah.
Where God intervenes.
Yeah.
He comes
in. I agree.
And he's right there.
I call them head-scratching moments. You know,
yeah,
we just say, oh, this could not be anything to do with me whatsoever. This is definitely the Lord.
And the least time you expect it, something happens.
Out of left field.
He's there. Out of left field. Absolutely.
I just had a beautiful, I'll tell you guys a quick story. There was a woman who I visited every single Sunday. I visited her and her husband. They had no children. Vito and Rosa, they were their names. And they, very traditional Italian people. So I would have dinner with my mom and dad, and then I would go to their home. I lived alone, and I would have dinner with them. So I had like two dinners on a Sunday. It was a great deal. But Vito died after 72 years of marriage, and Rosa was
72
it.
Years.
Can you imagine
of
that?
Marriage?
That's beautiful, right? Oh, what a gift, right? And they were at Mass every single day. These people.
Wow.
And they went to Eucharistic adoration every single day. I mean, these people are amazing, amazing people. She landed in Our Lady of Consolation residence, one of our nursing homes, you know, and I visited her every weekend there, and. I was kind of like her other son, you know, the son she never had, but we had a beautiful, beautiful relationship. In her room, she had a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus that she brought from Italy when she was 14 years old. And she packed two pictures in her bag. One was a framed picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The other one was one of the Sacred Heart of Mary. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And in front of her was the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the wall. And we would always pray to the Sacred Heart. And finally, toward the end of her life, she was getting sicker and sicker. I asked her to please pray with me to the Sacred Heart. We had prayed to the Sacred Heart. We asked the Lord to come and take her home so she could be with her mom and with her family again, with her husband, Vito, who she missed so much. And literally, now this is a funny part of the story. I said to her, Rosa, I'm having some nuns over for dinner, and I have to go and buy brajute because I was making a dish. And I knew she would like that, so she was laughing. And I said, but I'm going to be back. I'm just going to run to the store, buy brajute, and I'm going to come back, okay? And she said, oh, that's a good. Thank you. No problem. I left the room. By the time I got back, the Lord had called her home. And right there in front of her was that picture of the Sacred Heart, you know?
I think you're reading our minds because we have saints of the day. And I know Tony has the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in mind.
Yes, I do.
Go to it.
Well, Saint of the Day this week is going to be Margaret Mary, or better known sometimes as Margaret Marie. But
Margaret Mary Alacoque?
Alacoque, yes. And, you know, in order to properly present it, I think you have to connect the dots between Margaret Mary and Jesus, the Sacred Heart, and Mary's Sacred Heart.
Immaculate Heart.
Immaculate Heart. Now, yesterday, we celebrated the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's on a Friday. It's very unusual, I thought, that we would be celebrating such a holy holiday on a Friday until I researched it. And do you know why we celebrate on a Friday, Capoma?
It's good a day as any.
Now, it was ordained that the Sacred Heart of Jesus would be celebrated on the 19th day after Pentecost. And so the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to me, that means will always fall on a Friday. Will always be on a Friday. And, of course, today we're celebrating the Sacred Heart of Mary. And so we'll connect the dots between the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Sacred Heart of Mary, and St. Margaret Mary. By the way, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, if you look back, I think, into the, it's in the New Testament, but if you look back in the Old Testament, I think it's referred to many times through God's love for us. And then it comes out into the New Testament under Jesus' love for us. So that love has been there. The love is there. It's been there since creation. So let's talk about St. Mary Margaret. Margaret Mary. She was born in a French town, a beautiful town. I think it's called Paray-la-Monerelle. And
your French is wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I took it for 3 years in high school. And that town, as I understand my research, is still filled with the power of the Holy Spirit even today. When you go to that town, you can actually feel it. You can feel the presence of our Lord Jesus, because it's here that our Lord appeared to a nun, a simple nun over a period of 17 years. And he brought his faithful message of love to an unfaithful people of that town. And he wanted his love to be known. And so once again, he spoke of that tremendous love of his to become to man, and that he would suffer and die on the cross for that love. Margaret Mary was a visitation nun from 1671 to 1690, and our Lord appeared to her many times in the chapel of the visitation. Not only have there been revelations from our Lord, Jesus had been accepted by the church, but because of her righteousness and selfless life as a nun, she was raised to the communion of saints in the year 1920, by the way. Over a period of 17 years, our Lord shared this mandate with her. He desired the faithful to come to the foot of the altar. He promised that great graces would be poured out, and we'll discuss those. The 12 great graces that he said under certain conditions, and we'll discuss that at the end, so don't interrupt me, Paul. And
boy, he's very, very aggressive today.
Wow. He told her that from the moment that the angels proclaimed his incarnation to his triumph of the cross, his heart suffered constantly because of the sins of men, those that had been committed from the beginning of time and would still be happening today. His greatest wound, he said, was apathy, the lack of respect for the Blessed Sacrament, his body and his blood. For that reason, he wanted a devotion to his Sacred Heart, which he directed St. Margaret Mary to have instituted. Margaret Mary was born 20 miles from this town, Parle-la-Monica, on July 25, 1647. Little did her family know that when she was born, how powerful the Lord would use her. One day, nor did they have any idea that she would be the instrument he would use to bring about devotion to his Sacred Heart. So he uses all of us in certain ways, and unknown to any of us. The parents had no idea that Margaret Mary was going to be used in such a
wonderful
way.
And you know, there was
a
heresy going on then called Jansenism.
Yes.
And it was against frequent reception of the Eucharist. You weren't worthy.
Yes.
And that's what she was doing. Yes. By talking about
it. So with that being said, I'll continue.
Go ahead.
Okay. Margaret Mary.
Very sensitive.
Margaret Mary.
Oh, Tony, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, John. But that was a good point, by the way. That was going on. Margaret Mary was devoted to our Lord Jesus all her life. She spent much of her time under the influence of her godmother, who taught her about the faith. At 4.5 years old, she made a vow of perpetual virginity in front of the statue of Our Lady in her grandmother's garden. Her parents brought her to church constantly. She would spend long hours in the woods on her knees adoring the Lord Jesus, who was present in the Blessed Sacrament of the church.
Yeah.
Our Lord Jesus was not easy on Margaret Mary. You know what? Nor is he easy sometimes on us, too. Mm. He did not hesitate to discipline her when the occasion would arise because of his love. One time, she was known to go to a party, and a masquerade party during a carnival, and Jesus appeared to her and said to her, "Ropes painfully rubbing against your hands will show you that masquerade party was not pleasing to me." He told her that her vanity was the reason he was suffering from those wounds. Her family was unflinchingly opposed to her joining a religious community. Therefore, she had to teach catechism secretly. Her brother ridiculed her, just like a lot of people that are devoted to Jesus, and they have to sometimes do it secretly.
Even when people interrupt you.
And even when people interrupt you. But I'm a very forgiving guy. After much struggle, she finally walked through the doors of the convent of the Visitation Sisters on June the 20th, 1671, irregardless of what her mother and father had said or done, to begin her life in the religious order.
Beautiful.
She took her vows a year later on November 6, 1672. During her 10-day retreat in preparation for the ceremony, Margaret Mary was praying in the garden of the convent when our Lord appeared to her. He spoke gently, spoke softly, spoke lovingly. Just like I guess we imagine Jesus would speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her, revealing to her the mystery of his passion. It was the beginning of a very intimate relationship between Margaret Mary and our Lord Jesus. And that's something that we would all hope for, an intimate relationship. And I think we all can get that and all have that intimate relationship.
You know, Tony, 400 years ago is when this all occurred. And we had the relics of Margaret Mary
yes.
here in the diocese. Oh. Let me just tell you something, though. We went around to 8 different parishes, and Father, over 17,000 people came out to reverence Margaret Mary's yeah. devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Isn't that wonderful?
Beautiful?
Yeah. So beautiful.
And let me add, at one of those sessions in, I forget the name of the church, St. Aidan's,
mm-hmm.
when the ceremony was going on and the religious going on, tell them what happened.
You know, we always look to close out with somebody doing a prayer or a song. And we didn't have any closing because there was no priest. It was late at night. And not late night, it was in this twilight. And a woman comes running in. Everybody's got to come outside. Everybody's got to come outside from church. And the church was pretty crowded. I said, all right, let's go outside. Let's see what's... There was a rainbow over the church.
Over the church.
Wow.
God
oh, wow.
blessing that.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that wonderful how God talks
and
us?
And I can attest yeah. that he is telling the truth because
yeah.
I saw it.
Isn't that great?
And,
yeah.
And that and wasn't that the answer of the closing ceremony?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no one's there to do the closing ceremony.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Yep.
Bingo.
Can
rainbow.
I tell you one other story? I had the relic. I would travel from church to church with the great big case with the relics of a shoulder and the driver in the suicide seat, you know, right next to me in the
sure.
car. And all I could imagine, I have a crazy imagination, Margaret Mary going back up to her friends in heaven. And yeah, and this nice man took me for a ride in his car. And then the saints who were of her time said, what's a car?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay,
sorry, Tony.
Let me continue. There he goes again. Trevor, get the tape ready. I think we're going to need it. Jesus was preparing Margaret Mary for what he had in store for her. And that's what he was getting her ready for, just like I guess he gets us all ready. So on the vigil of the Feast of the Visitation, Margaret Mary was in a choir with the rest of the nuns. They were singing to the glory of God and a solemn invocation and asked for a blessing and a profession of faith. Margaret Mary had lost her voice and couldn't sing anymore with them. All at once, the baby Jesus appeared in her arms. Her voice returned, and she sang with the rest of the nuns the glory of the Lord.
Wow.
Doesn't Jesus work in wonderful
yeah.
ways? Jesus asked Margaret Mary to make a holy hour one Thursday evening as she knelt herself on the floor from 11 to midnight, and our Lord allowed her to share with him his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
In the life of every saint, you will find the Blessed Mother. Once when Saint Margaret Mary was seriously ill, her superior ordered her to pray to the Blessed Mother to intercede with the Lord for a healing. Her mother accompanied Our Lady accompanied her with angels, appeared to Margaret Mary, and she was healed.
Hmm.
And so isn't Mary a very powerful intercessor?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, sure. You know, it's my belief that Jesus and our Heavenly Father never refuse our loving Mother Mary.
Mm-hmm.
She's our greatest intercessor.
Oh, she's wonderful. You know Monsignor Fink? He used to teach at the seminary. Now he's up in Yonkers.
Yes.
And he is devoted to Faustina's Divine Mercy, right?
Yes.
And he said, the Divine Mercy is just God's way of reminding the world about the Sacred Heart.
Isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting? Absolutely. Tony, I'm sorry. I don't mean to stomp all over you, but
keep
going.
You are, but that's okay.
You see how we are, Father?
Yeah, I see.
You know, I love him. You know, we're too old. You know, we're grumpy old disciples. You know that, right, Father?
I understand. Believe me, I understand.
Well, on another occasion, when the nuns present in the convent in the garden, Margaret Mary had a vision of the Sacred Heart surrounded by angels. And the angels made a pact with Margaret Mary at that time that they would take her suffering. In turn, she would rejoice in them. And so to remember this, the garden, the yard, was named Sephari. And so that was the pact that she made with the angels, that they would take her suffering and she would portray the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And now Jesus also promised that all those that worshiped his Sacred Heart, he would bestow 12 graces on them.
Go fast.
And he told Margaret Mary this. I will give them the graces necessary in their state of life. I will give peace in their families and will unite families that are divided. Isn't that so important?
Wonderful.
Aren't there so many families divided today?
Yeah, too many.
Aren't there? Sure. I will console them in their troubles. I will be their refuge during life and above all in death. Isn't that comforting to know that Jesus will be there during our death? I will bestow the blessings of heaven on all their enterprises. Sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Tempered souls shall become fervent. Fervent souls shall rise quickly to great perfection. I will bless those places where the image of my heart shall be exposed and honored, and will imprint my love in their hearts of those who would wear this image on their person. I will also destroy in them all disordered movements. I will give to priests who are animated by the tender devotion to my divine heart the gift of touching the most hardened souls and hardened hearts. Mm-hmm. Those who promote the devotion shall have their names written in my heart and never to be erased.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that a promise? I promise you, in the excessive mercy of my heart, that my all-powerful love will grant all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 consecutive months the graces of final penance. They will not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving the sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this movement. Isn't that a wonderful promise, that if we keep the promise and keep the devotion, we're going to die in a state of grace?
It's better than all state.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Father, so you had a couple of stories that you wanted to share about the Sacred Heart.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's, I think I got that, nine times in a row beat by many years now.
Uh-huh.
But there's, so I guess I'm safe. But, you know, the funny thing is that, again, like the people I know who are devoted to the Sacred Heart and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, it's funny thing about suffering in these people's lives. This is sort of my one theme that when I think of the Sacred Heart, that both of those hearts are pierced hearts, right?
Yes.
So we have to always recall that. Like, they're hearts of love and they're hearts of forgiveness, but they're both pierced, right? And, I mean, so beautifully portrayed by the Pietà, if you think about it, right? If you think about, get that image in your head. The people I know who are devoted to the Sacred Heart, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of things that always don't go the way that perhaps we want, find tremendous comfort and consolation in the struggle of the cross in their life. And I think that, for me, as we celebrate these days, very important things. You know, my mother is a good example of this, and this was one of the stories. My mother has Alzheimer's disease. She's in year three of it. But she's very devoted to the Sacred Heart, very devoted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, very, very important to her. And as she journeys through this disease, one of the prayers that she keeps praying is the prayer from St. Ignatius, "Take, Lord, receive all my memory, my understanding, my entire will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me." That flows from that devotion to the Sacred Heart.
Absolutely.
That we could have such a deep love in the midst of the pierced heart that my mother has right now. And, you know, her heart's been pierced a couple of times, losing a daughter, and now this long journey home for her. That piercing, though, has become a source where her heart can touch the heart of Christ and the heart of the Blessed Mother. Yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
And it comes like a blanket and just settles over them.
Isn't that wonderful?
The pain. It's beautiful.
Can you imagine to be able to pray that prayer from your heart, "Take, Lord, receive all my memory," knowing that you're going to lose that. Absolutely. But you're giving it to Jesus. You're giving it back to him.
Yeah.
There's something powerful about that.
And you're accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' will, you're accepting it.
Exactly right.
And that is actually beautiful.
Isn't it something?
Really, just like Jesus accepted his cross.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of the cross.
And by the way, not without prayer and not without a little struggle.
Yes, yeah.
As you mentioned, Gethsemane, right?
Yeah.
And even the Blessed Mother in her own broken heart, right? Being there at the foot of the cross, watching her son die.
Yes.
To see that heart get pierced, as was foretold, as you were saying earlier too, in the Old Testament. The same story, right?
Yep. Yep.
Her heart will be pierced. Yes, exactly right. But the promise is that it doesn't end there, right? It doesn't end in that. It's all about hope. And it's that hope and the power that's promised in the resurrection.
And it's healing. Mm-hmm. And he never gives you anything that you can't handle.
So true.
Even though at times I question him.
Yeah.
You know, one time, Father, I have a word gift and I pray a lot and I hear things inside of me. And one time I was saying to God, you know, why did you choose me? I think you better fire your selection committee. And I heard back, you know, I really can fire my selection committee. It's my mother.
And that's true.
You know, that's true. And how he just touches you. Mm-hmm. I've lost two wives and a son over the years. And the day my son died, I was on the sun porch. I got a phone call from the hospital that he had died. And I heard inside of me, "Sit down, be at peace. I'll be with you. Together, mm-hmm. we can handle this."
Well, John, you would know the pierced heart of Christ, right? Yep. And the Immaculate Heart so well because of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Father, we always pray. Are you finished? Or do you have more you want to add?
That's
you only went on for 3 hours.
And now even I stepped on you, too. I'm sorry, Tony.
No. I'm teasing him.
No.
He knows me.
I love him. I truly love him.
Trevor.
No, that's my story.
And you have no choice, by the way. You have to love him. So there it is.
We're going to do number 5, Trevor. And we're going to start getting ready to go into prayer.
Beautiful.
Because so many people have pierced hearts. So we're asking, Lord, please touch the hearts of our listeners now. And we just let that play in the background. And we're praying for so many people, Lord.
Oh.
I have parents, 2 women who lost their daughters to suicide. I have another woman who has a serious disease. I have a woman with cancer. And people who have going through horrible divorces. And Lord, their hearts are pierced. Would you enter into their hearts now, Lord? Touch them. Let them know that you are with them, Lord. For you alone of the Holy One who can touch all of our hurting hearts. We praise you, Lord, and thank you.
Give you praise and glory. And dear Jesus, we have in our petitions people that are out of work, people that are hurting, people that have problems with their grandchildren, people that are waiting for results of tests and anxiety, people that have been diagnosed with cancer, and people that have grandchildren that they're so worried about. And we ask that you bestow your blessings on them and you give them the courage and you give them the faith to place it all into your hands, Jesus. And we thank you for all that you've done for those petitions.
And I'm hearing the words, my dear, dear friends. My mother and I are touching your heart right now. Use your imagination. Assume we are right before you. Mary places her mantle over your shoulders and says to you, oh, dear child, don't cry. We know the pain. We've had it too. And we know how to touch you just the right way right now. Here, let my son bring you close to his heart. Let him draw you right up close to him so you can hear his heart beating. We are here with you. We know your pain. We know your pain. Trust us. Trust our love. We love you. We love you. We love you. And we give you our peace.
And we give you praise and glory, Jesus, and we thank you.
Father, would you lead us in prayer for our listeners?
Sure.
In some way.
Loving God, there are so many people who need to know your love this day. We ask you, Lord, to help us in some way to be the carriers of your sacred heart to those who need your love. We pray for those you have asked to carry your heart. We pray for all those who are responsible for leading our church, for the priests who celebrate at your altar and bring your sacred heart to so many, for all of the people who minister in your church and help others to know that you are present and that you love them and that you care for them. And Blessed Mother, we ask you this day to come to us that we may know your peace and your love, and that your peace may be the promise given to this world. Loving God, from all of the wonderful gifts that you give us, we ask you this day to help us to be grateful and to help us to see your sacred heart and to know your love for us in all that we do, in all that we see. Make the meals of our home holy meals. Make the relationships of family and friends holy relationships. Make our work a ministry to give you praise and honor. Make this day a day that gives your heart honor by the way we love one another. Keep us mindful of your presence on the road, at home, and as we go about our work this day. We ask your blessing in our lives always, Lord, and particularly this day, through the power of the Spirit and through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, guys, I got a surprise. I got a real surprise for you.
Oh, I love surprises.
I was putting together the music for today, and I came across a whole series of songs by Father Charles Bengano and Lori.
Great.
And
Father Charles Hour.
Celebrate the victory of Jesus.
Yes, and I would like to thank and praise Jesus for allowing the Monsignor to be on our show. It's a great honor and a pleasure.
Well, thank you both. And I can tell I am in the presence of a beautiful ministry and two beautiful men. So
you are a dream come true.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's great to be with you. Thank you so much.
And Trevor, just let them run through. There'll be a break in each one because I cut them up.
Oh, beautiful. So, great.
Oh, good.
Jesus is Lord of our lives. And listeners, we hope he's Lord of your life too.
And don't forget to listen to Telcare Radio. It's Catholic television at its best.
Thank you so much.
It really is. And my senior's doing a great job.
And we're going to play music to the end and rejoice and live in God's
joy. Get off the table, Palmer.
Okay.
No dancing on the table, Palmer.
Who endured the cross and grave? Alleluia. Sinners to redeem and save.
to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Blessing, honor, and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Till all the
in my darkness, you are my strength when I'm weary. You give me sight when I'm blinded. Come see for me, Jesus. Jesus, you are my light. Jesus, Jesus, you are the way.
I am your song and servant, singing your praise like Mary, surrendered to your spirit. Let it be done to me,
Jesus, Jesus.
You
program did not necessarily represent